House Bill 1124. Representative Hunhoff. Your choice if you will sit with where you're at or go to the head of the table.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I bring to you House Bill 1124, which is requesting an appropriation of money from the Educational Enhancement Fund to the tune of $3,006,960, which would be distributed on a per pupil basis for education enhancement apart from the state aid General Education Foundation formula. As we are aware this past year and in this budget as being proposed, there has been no special appropriation or additional dollars to education has been awarded in the past 2 years that the governor had included in his budget. Not that that was supposed to be a continual ongoing funding, however, we do know that education costs continue to escalate, and in attempting to meet that need, this bill proposes this amount. This would approximate to $20 per pupil. It would be a one-time appropriation that would go to all students in South Dakota. The important piece of this is not tied to the formula, so again, it's not anything that would continue on, but would be a one-time appropriation as we have observed for the past 2 years. I know there are other people here that will speak to this bill. I would ask for your favorable passage. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Hunoff. Other proponents of House Bill 1124. Other proponents.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Jim Hutmaker, representative of South Dakota Coalition of Schools and also part of the School Alliance you've heard so much about this year. We are very much in favor of House Bill 1124. This year, school districts, from the money we received, the $4,160 last year, and the governor's proposal is approximately $45 per student. That is pretty much inadequate as far as we're concerned, trying to even cover just the cost of our increase in health insurance in most districts. What we're proposing, where we'd really like to be, is at $42.85. I think that was our original 3% aggregate bill would have put us to $42.85 as far as per student funding. Under the governor's proposal, 106 out of 168 school districts will get less money this year than they did last year. There's also the consideration of opt-outs that we're looking at. There's been 112 attempts, and 79 have been successful. Some of those are second and third time attempts with different school districts. We also have increasing costs in fuel, I'm sure as that you're well aware of, that we've had. 80% or 81% of a school district's budget is tied to salaries and benefits, and without any increased cost, in other words, the $45 won't cover the insurance, it's almost impossible to give staff raises. And with school districts losing money, 106 of them, I'm sure there's not going to be anything done with raises, and negotiations are currently on hold, waiting the outcome of the legislature to see what really our funding is going to end up. And with that, I would try to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Hutmaker. Any questions? Thank you. Other proponents for House Bill 1124.
Morning, Chairman Putnam and members of the House Appropriations Committee. I'm Diana Miller, and I'm a registered lobbyist for the ESD Plus 6 school districts, the 14 largest school districts in the state. And I will try not to repeat much of what lobbyist Huntmacher has stated. I would have a couple other additional comments. First of all, it would be to our advantage if we could truly use the education enhancement money for enhancement of education. And that is very broad, as I realize in the statute. However, I still believe it is for enhancing programs, not maintaining and supplementing the general fund to fund public education. If we had an opportunity to look at some of those enhancement dollars for something beyond what we're currently doing, we could look at smaller class sizes, we could look at preschool programs, we could look at additional services for the state library, that type of thing. All of those bills have been in. However, it is our position and the position of the Alliance that we are not receiving adequate funding for the general aid formula. And whether we can get into a dispute over the numbers, and we constantly will, because I think it just is a case of how you interpret them. And the fact of the matter is, we interpret it that we're getting a 1.08% increase because we are losing the one-time enhancement money. We are losing the money that this committee and the Senate Appropriations Committee together saw in their infinite wisdom to give us to replace some of our school and public lands dollars. The school and public lands dollars will again be down this year, and so we will not have the same amount of dollars as we did last year. I think you also need to look at, basically we see it as the $5 million is carryover from last year, which belongs in education, and then we see an additional $412,000 approximately of new dollars. Let me give you an example. As Jim Huttmacher indicated, 80% of our budgets in most school districts generally are salaries and benefits. We have had significant increases in our insurance costs, as other areas have, in our utility costs, as other areas as other groups have also. We also have teacher contracts, and I think one of the priorities has also been to increase teacher salaries. Well, there's not much hope of that when we're only getting $45 additional over what we got last year. And I view it over what did we get last year versus what we got this year, or proposed to get this year. Now, let me give you an example specifically in two schools, as I know this committee likes detail. The fact of the matter is, in Spearfish, we are cutting programs. We have had every principal be asked to cut X number of dollars out of his or her budget. We are laying off staff. We are looking for anywhere and everywhere that we can cut, because with the proposed increase and even the 3%, they will still have to cut programs. Last week, we had the fortune to hear from a Rapid City School Board member, Cheryl Kirkaby, and she did an excellent job on explaining what Rapid City has done. They have closed four schools, which by definition isn't viewed as consolidation. By our definition in our largest schools, it is consolidation. But to close four schools, they have cut some programs, and very needed programs. And then you get into the area of what some people refer to as the extras. I don't call them extra. I call them they're necessary to the well-rounded development of a child. Many schools are cutting the art classes, the music classes, particularly down in 7th or 8th grade, middle school, junior high, whatever you may call it. I think that is unfortunate when we're in a situation such as that, because our job as educators, and I believe as legislators, is to provide the best opportunities for our children in South Dakota that we possibly can. An opportunity to means to me a variety of courses to develop them as a whole person. And we're not getting that. We're getting just the basics. At the same time, on the other end, we're demanding more of the schools, and that's fine. I'm a big supporter of accountability. I always have been. I believe we should be held accountable. But I think you will see our test scores are up there among the highest, one of the highest in the nation. I think you will see that we are performing well. We have supported putting into the institutions a testing mechanism. We have additional requirements under No Child Left Behind for staff and for students, and we are meeting those requirements. But in order to continue to do that, we have to have the funding to do that. Along with additional requirements, additional resources must be given. I think also when you look at what's happened with some of the schools this year, and I agree, I mean, I don't agree, I mean, I know we have declining enrollment, but I think you all know that just because a school has declining enrollment does not mean they can eliminate an entire course, teacher, whatever, because the declining enrollment may be spread over a variety of grade levels, and it may be two here, three here, and we can't just collapse a program, so we still have some of those costs. And this enhancement dollars that we are requesting, the $3 million, we would ask that it be divided on a per pupil basis, such that it does not go through the formula, and also that way it is a more fair and equitable. Based on the way our formula is designed, we have the kicker with the small schools, but we believe this needs to go per pupil. So, Mr. Chairman, I would ask that you support giving the $3 million to the school districts on a per pupil basis in House Bill 1124. And thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the opportunity.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming and testifying this morning. Other proponents, House Bill 1124.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, committee members. Christy Johnson representing the school administrators, and we are also a member of the Education Alliance. I just wanted to emphasize one point that has already been alluded to, but I am really concerned about the opt-out. Those of you who were here in 95 when the new funding formula came into being know that the opt-out was made available for school districts that wanted to enhance enhance, go above and beyond what the basic education was supported by through the state aid formula. What we have found, those 112 school districts that have tried to opt out, is that that money is not for enhancement. They need that money just to survive and meet payroll. I would suggest to you that if our state aid formula isn't providing enough money to meet the basic needs and schools are having to opt out, that something is basically wrong. I don't believe we are supporting education at the amount that it should be. So our support of this bill is simply to say we need some additional dollars that are not being met through the formula, and we would ask your kind consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Other proponents? House Bill 1124.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jim Hood. I'm a registered lobbyist for the mid-sized school organizations, and I can only echo the comments of the proponents of this bill. It is a sad commentary that we have to look at enhancement dollars to fund education at a basic level. I would urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Other proponents for House Bill 1124? Other proponents for House Bill 1124? Other proponents? Seeing and hearing none, we'll ask for opponents of House Bill 1124. Are there any opponents to House Bill 1124? Opponents to House Bill 1124. Seeing, hearing none, close that portion of the testimony and open it up to committee discussion and or action. Representative Clout.
Defer 1124, please.
Motion by Clout to defer 1124, seconded by Representative Haverly. Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, all those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. House Bill 1124 is deferred. House Bill 1124. Representative Clout.
I'd like to move a due tabling motion on 1124.
Moved by Representative Clout, table 1124. Seconded by Representative Haverly. No discussion. All those in favor of the tabling motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Secretary, call the roll.
Dinner.
Aye.
Glinsky.
Aye.
Honhoff.
No.
Haverly.
Aye.
Roush.
No.
Peters?
Aye.
Tiedemann?
Aye.
Clout?
Aye.
Putnam?
Aye. 1124 has tabled. We're going